This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Going out to the SDCCU fan hotline and talking about the remarkable story of Helix High School, San Diego's own Alex Smith, and joining us from the Washington Post, our good friend Sam Fortier here. Happy Thanksgiving, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys for having me on again. It's good to catch up.
Yeah, always a pleasure. And I'll tell you, Alex Smith's story, I think it's getting a little bit not overlooked. Certainly, I'm sure not there in Washington, D.C., but you know, there's so many other things happening in the league and the coronavirus situation and the fact that the whole NFC East is all struggling to win games, and that's a crazy thing. But, I mean, this Alex Smith thing really should be applauded and appreciated by everybody, because where he came from to being back as a starting quarterback and now winning games and throwing for over 300 yards, it's really something special.
Yeah, of course. And for me, you know, coming on to the beat this year, this is my first year covering it. One of the first things I did when I, you know, got this job was I ended up watching that ESPN documentary about Alex's leg. And honestly, I mean, when you watch that, it's hard to watch. I mean, even for me, it was
super,
you know, you
hard.
Get kind of squeamish looking at it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's funny, like, you know, a couple of days later, you know, he's up there at a press conference talking about trying to come back. And you know, about how he wants to do this, not just for him, for his family, so he can show his kids that you can do it. And he said, you know, I would have had a hard time going on with my life, you know, if I hadn't tried to do this, if I hadn't given it everything I could. And you know, I have a lot of respect for that. But even, you know, when he comes back out onto the field, you just get a little tense, because, you know, what happened the last time he was out there. So just for me, being in year one watching this, watching his kind of remarkable story, it's just been a surreal experience, because he has done everything that he said he could do, and that I don't think a lot of other people thought he could.
Sam, I can relate to that feeling you're talking about. I remember watching him trot onto the field for the first game that he's back, and they pan to his wife, and I'm watching her.
Ugh.
just seemed like she was the most uncomfortable person in the building watching her husband on the field, and I couldn't really watch the rest of him out there performing. Like, I had to turn into a different game because I was afraid something was going to happen. Have we moved past that part? Because I feel like everybody was kind of in the same boat watching Alex Smith. Everybody who watched that documentary all walked away probably feeling the same way. Like, man, I don't know if this is going to be able to be done. But he trots back on that field, and he's had a 300-yard game. Have we gotten past that point now where he comes on the field and everybody's like holding their breath almost?
It's funny you say that, because the first game he comes back, Kyle Allen, the starter, gets injured, and he comes back in against the Rams, that defensive line.
Right.
And I want to say the third or fourth snap,
Aaron Donald jumped
on his back. Man, I've been at some crazy sporting events, you know, some really close Chargers games, game 7 of the World Series. I have never been in a press box that reacted to something as viscerally as that moment when Aaron Donald jumps on. Like literally the entire, if there were fans in the stadium, like I would imagine everyone would have had a collective, you know, just, you know, big intake of breath like that. Since then, it's funny because, you know, for, you know, people that are around him every day, his, you know, his teammates, the writers, It has become a little bit normalized. Right. you stop saying like, okay, he's going to take this big hit. But it's funny to see, even other teams or other writers, come in and they just say, it's just different watching this in person, watching him out there and seeing him try to avoid the pass rush. But in terms of for Alex, for this team, I think for people that are around him every day, yes, we have moved past that. You're starting to talk about things like, hey, maybe Alex Smith can throw that deep ball. Maybe this is the guy, maybe he does fit in this offense. I think that's what we're talking about now, which is certainly a step forward.
Sam Fortier from the Washington Post, following not only the football team, but the amazing recovery of Alex Smith. Has he ever said that he ever got close to saying to himself, because I didn't watch the documentary. I didn't think I could handle it, honestly, and so I never heard whether how close did he ever get to saying, oh my goodness, maybe I really shouldn't try to play football again. And you got his doctor, the team physician, basically saying, anything beyond saving his leg right now is going to be a miracle. That was a quote from back when this whole thing happened and the infection took place. Did he ever think twice about it, or was he go all the way?
Yeah, certainly even now he'll say that he had dark days. He'll hint at that first year. For really the entire year, he didn't know if he could walk again. He didn't know if he could, play with his kids in the backyard. That was kind of the thing that his goal was, to be able to move around for his kids to play with them. And then I think after you get past, this is going to be a thing that I can do again, that's when he sort of retrained his sights on, hey, I want to get back on the field. I want to, throw a pass. I want to take a snap. I want to do all of those incremental things. And it's funny, we asked him the other day, he has started. Now he has thrown a touchdown pass. Now he has had a win. All those milestones are kind of past. So what is the next thing he's going to look forward to? What's the next goal he wants to hit? And he was like, honestly, now I just want to be a regular starter in this league. And he doesn't have a number or a milestone that he wants to hit. He just wants this to become a normal part of his life. And I think the goal for him is to make not everyone forget that he had this injury, but for it to be a subplot in his larger story.
That's certainly what it sounds like. It certainly seems like that's been his motivation since he's been on the field. And we know all of us out here in San Diego are certainly pulling for him. Now, with Kyle Allen going out and Alex Smith coming in, that leaves the first-round pick from a year ago, Dwayne Haskins, still kind of learning the ropes, I guess, as a backup now. What's his future look like at this point? Because it's going to be hard to remove Alex Smith if he's putting up 300-yard games weekly like this. And this offense has looked a lot better since, honestly, he's taken over that starting position. What are we to make of Dwayne Haskins at this point?
This is a very good, important question, because I think the discussion nationally around Dwayne Haskins is, hey, why aren't you playing this guy? You need to figure out what you have on the field in order to determine, what the arc of this franchise is moving forward. Who is the quarterback of the future? And I think that misses two key points. The first is that Ron Rivera is basically saying, one, we are not going to tank. We are going to do everything we can to win the division. And I think that you can argue, or I think that he argues, that instead of a better draft pick, this hypothetical prospect, he is saying that he wants to build a win now culture and that the locker room will get better because of that in the long run.
Saw that with the Dolphins last year.
Exactly, exactly. The second point is that Dwayne Haskins, the thing that they're looking from him is not on the field. They understand he has elite. This is a very good, important question, because I think the discussion nationally around Dwayne Haskins is, hey, why aren't you playing this guy? You need to figure out what you have on the field in order to determine, what the arc of this franchise is moving forward. Who is the quarterback of the future? And I think that misses two key points. The first is that Ron Rivera is basically saying, one, we are not going to tank. We are going to do everything we can to win the division. And I think that you can argue, or I think that he argues, that instead of a better draft pick, this hypothetical prospect, he is saying that he wants to build a win now culture and that the locker room will get better because of that in the long run.
Saw that with the Dolphins last year.
Exactly, exactly. The second point is that Dwayne Haskins, the thing that they're looking from him for from him is not on the field. They understand he has elite, you know, arm talent. He has something that you're born with. But the reason why they benched him, and Ron Rivera, you know, at first gave a bunch of different reasons, but has since, when he's talked to the media nationally, locally, he's really focused in on the fact that he benched Dwayne Haskins because he was not working hard. The thing that we've come to learn is Alex Smith and Kyle Allen were beating him to the building. Teammates asked Dwayne Haskins to work harder, to prepare better, and he did not respond, according to you know, multiple people that we've talked to. So really, it's not even that they need to see him on the field. They need to see him in the backup role, preparing. They need to see him, you know, do those things that put him in position to use his talent. Ron Rivera said pretty bluntly a couple weeks ago, talent can take you so far, but really what separates these guys at the NFL level is who can work hard. So if Dwayne shows that he can work hard enough, then maybe we'll get to see him on the field. But you know, hey, we need to see him on the field. We need to prepare for the future. That is besides the point at this juncture for this team and Dwayne Haskins.
Well, Sam, the follow-up to that question is, have they seen that? I mean, he's been in his backup role, third string role, for a while now. Have they started to see any of that from their end?
It's a good question. Ron Rivera has played coy about it publicly. As far as we understand, he has improved work. You know, his work ethic has improved. His preparation has improved. How much, it's difficult to say, especially in a year like this when we're not in the locker room.
Right.
But I would imagine that, you know, let's say that this team ultimately falls out of playoff contention or really division contention. But if this team takes a step backward, I would imagine that we'll see Dwayne later in the year, if he has worked hard enough, I think, to earn that shot, because I think this team does understand, if you know, if there were to be a future quarterback on the roster, it's obviously Dwayne, but can Dwayne take that step? I do think you have to give him a chance to prove that it translates onto the field.
Right.
But it is difficult to do that when you're telling your players, hey, we're going to do everything we can to win.
Yeah. At least for now, it's Alex Smith's job, and he's earned it, and Washington has a shot. I mean, they're a half game out of first place. Big game tomorrow, and I know that it's not people are kind of making fun of this game because it's 3-7 versus 3-7, but I think there's something to enjoy watching this game, and that's just watching Alex Smith perform. I mean, I think that's worthwhile, especially for the folks here in San Diego. While I have you, and I know you appreciate the time you spent with us, but we're all still kind of wondering out here, how long is it going to be the Washington football team? Is it really, truly going to be like a whole nother season? Are they really going to hang on that? Or are they going to get their act together and try to come up with a logo and a new nickname?
The timeline is unclear. The new team president, Jason Wright, he has made a big deal of soliciting fans' feedback, doing this the right way. So really, it is kind of an undetermined process. We've heard maybe it'll go through next year, maybe it won't. But I think the thing that is notable is that there has been a lot of talk, especially around the team, that they might actually stick with the Washington football team, you know, long term, that this might be their actual plan going forward. I know that that is pretty divisive among the fan base here. They just installed like some pretty big signage on the team facility, and they've made investments certainly in, you know, calling themselves the Washington football team and even out at the stadium. So this might be a permanent thing, but I do think that there is a fair chance that we're going to see this thing long term.
Wow. All right. Well, that's going to be great.
The Washington FT.
I mean, we're way out here in San Diego, for heaven's sakes. And between Tony and I, we say the word Redskins at least 10 times a week. So I got to believe that people back on the East Coast say it more than that. So anyway, that's our own personal hell we have to go through, I guess. So
it's funny because, I used to cover the Chargers, and I think everybody was trying to figure out, okay, we're not going to call them San Diego anymore. Now I cover this team and nobody calls them by their actual name either. So it is funny how long these things take to transition.
I'm still transitioning sometime from
San
Diego.
We still say San Diego Chargers. We still say Washington Redskins. Heck, I still say the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah,
that's going back three renditions. So, hey, Sam, thanks so much for your time. Always fun talking with you. Enjoy the rest of the season. Give Alex Smith a happy hello from everybody in San Diego. I I called his high school championship games on television here in town when he had Reggie Bush in the backfield for Helix High School. So we all go way back. I mean, I don't know him, but I mean, I called his game and I remember watching him play. So I know everybody in San Diego is cheering for him, and it's a great story. And I appreciate you sharing it again with us. Thanks so much, Sam.
Of course. Do you guys actually have? Do you guys have time for one more quick story?
Yeah,
of course.
Please.
Sure.
So I just found this out, but so Washington's their big safety Landon Collins got hurt a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
They had to start this rookie named Cam Curl, 7th round pick, from Oklahoma. But I was, you know, so I did a story about him, and I called his dad. His name's Greg Curl, and he was telling me that he was in the Navy when he was growing up. You know, when he was a young adult,
right.
And he said that he happened to have his apartment in San Diego, in La Mesa, actually overlooked the Helix High School practice field.
Huh.
And this was when Alex Smith and Reggie Bush were going to those state championship games, like you talked about. So he said he would, you know, he's a big football guy. So he would sometimes hold his son Cam, you know, they'd sit out on this balcony and they'd watch, you know, the team practice. And now, you know, 20 years later, Cam Curl is a rookie playing safety on the same team that his dad watched the quarterback.
That's awesome. That's
play
crazy.
High school.
That's awesome.
So
yeah.
Pretty unbelievable, but I thought you guys might appreciate that. So when you see Cam Curl, the strong safety, starting tomorrow, you know, there's just a funny connection, you know, way back in some high school football in La Mesa.
That's amazing.
That's legit.
That is. All right, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks again. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.